homegrown series, folks. This has been a lot of fun to be able to talk to people local, see some things. I have a superstar sitting right next to me to my left, not just because this dude's my homeboy. This dude's like a brother. I mean, we literally spent months and months together traveling the country, spent days hanging out just at our houses.
Years in life, yeah.
Yeah, we our kids are our family. Like, it's like his kids are like my niece and, you know, niece and nephew, and vice versa. I know my son to them is like their nephew. And just like with Lou, we're all the same. We kind of have this connection right here, and it's a beautiful connection. And it's something, whether the car business was still around or not, we're always going to have that. Because we built that, and that's
kind of before the car business. That's how he dragged me in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's what's so beautiful about this is that it's like you find life. Life is everything. You know, I always compare life and car business because they, to me, they, you can use the same kind of things that you want done in life that you can in car business, and it applies. Right. So, you know, these friends that I've met, you know, he said before the car business, you know, really before the car business, Sean and I have met, went to the same high school together, you know. Our kid, we basically grew up as adults together.
Yeah.
Literally, much, yeah. Like raising itty bitty babies to now we have grown men and women going
young
to college.
In college and,
yeah.
In college and yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, hey, I'm not going to go too much further because there's going to, we got a lot of stuff we want to ask Sean. It's a five liner. But I also, before we go, there's always this thing we do at the very beginning of every show. It's very important.
You know, we know we do it every single day at work, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's basically what it is that we try to keep ourselves being able to do to go to the next heights and focus on where it is that we want to go. So on three, car guys and car gals, join us while we forgive, focus, fly. One, two, three.
Forgive, focus, fly. And keep growing.
Growing.
Keep growing.
Growing.
Keep growing. That's
growing.
Right.
That's right.
Hey, we're excited, man.
Let's get this right.
Thanks. We got that. We got Sean Jeezy. So. And I'm Sean, if you saw that intro at the beginning, you'll see that like we get everybody to do that as a guest. So what's cool is that here soon you'll be in our intro doing that.
Bam.
Right. That was, and here's another fact.
Some royalties.
This is the first time anybody has done it right next to me and Lou on our show. It's always been on two different screens or something like that. So this is history being made right now, folks.
Man, that was beautiful.
Now look what I also got him to do.
Oh, snap.
Oh, he's on the board. We've had some amazing guests. We've had a couple signatures, but we have never had a chance. You know, this is, it feels good. Best signature on the book. Look how big that is. I love it. I told him to go big and he did it. So I love it. You can actually read the name. So that's the point. So five liner.
What's up with that? Right,
all right, man. So we're going to ask you five questions, Sean. And these five questions are just about you, about what's coming up. I always ask the same question first. Everyone gets asked this question because it's important to start with this. Your purpose, your why, when you wake up every day, what is the thing that sparks you to say, you know what, today I'm going to be better. Today I'm going to go work out. Today I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to sit there and just watch an up walk by. I'm not going to not pick up the phone and call this lead. What causes you to go ahead and make sure that you do all those things?
You know, anytime you have, you know, family watching you, anytime you have friends watching you, coworkers watching you, and you would expect that of the same people. You have to lead by example. So the family, trying to be what I preach, you know, practice what you preach, definitely in that way. So
yeah, man. And it's true. Family, practice what you preach. So you're just, what it drives you is that you're just an honest person, man. You, that's one thing.
Sometimes about too honest.
I don't think there's such a thing. You know, I think that maybe in the long run, there's no such thing as too honest. You know, I think sometimes it may slap somebody in the face because you're being honest in a sense. And you know what I mean? Like it may be like, it gives them an awakening, but that's something that I always find as a great trait about you, Sean, is that I don't have to worry about that. Like, I know that if I ask you what your opinion is on something, if I ask you that question, I better be ready for the real answer.
Yeah, at least my opinion. Yeah.
So I know that there's certain questions that I can go ask certain people, and I know I'm just going to get the smile on your face. Oh, everything's great. Or I can go to Sean and just be like, hey, dude, I jacked up, dude. What do you think about this? And Sean would be like, well, yeah, you did jack up. This is what, you know. So that's what I think is great. I think that your clients see that about you, that you're a no-nonsense person. Yeah. I think that's why you've been successful and been able to be very consistent in what you do. The family thing. If there's anything I know about Sean, this dude's a family man, dude. He loves his family. He's raised two wonderful children, and that's some more stuff we'll talk about here in a moment.
They're not kids no more. They're not.
No, but he literally raised them from, you know, from out the belly to out the house. And
right.
And you know, Sean's got empty nest syndrome going on right now. So he's just trying to throw dogs in there and cats. And but no, it's true. You know, the thing about the reason why I asked you the why is the reason why I ask everybody the why is because when I always think about when I was in the business, when I was selling, I'm in the business still, but when I was out there on the lot, on, you know, catching ups, pounding the pavement, I remember there was days that it was too hot outside, it was too cold outside, or, you know, I just wasn't feeling it, or, you know, I just not in a good mood. I would sit there and I would be like, instead of not working, instead of not being outside, instead of not catching that up, instead of not, you know, doing the extra walk around on a car that it takes in this type of weather, I would drive myself because I would think about what would my son and my wife say if I called them right now. And that's something I learned a long time ago. So I use my family as my why. But as I get older and as I mature a little bit more, that why, that's just because that's the right thing to do. So it's a great thing to power you, to get you past to the next level. But I think what it continually makes me do that is the drive to just be better than I was yesterday. And I talk about that a lot. Constant growth, keep growing. And just being a little bit better, like, you know, whether it's just being able to do one more push-up, one more pull-up, one more burpee, right? You know, or maybe making that one extra phone call or whatever it is, that's truthfully what drives me now is just to be better. I found that to be my purpose, and that because it spreads out to a lot of things that drive me, such as my family, such as my friends, such as, you know, everything you can imagine, you know. So that's just one of those things that I can use. But I just try to be a little bit better. You know, I'm not in competition with you, Sean, with him. I just believe that if I'm better than I was yesterday, that means there's a huge improvement going on. Just got a constant 365 days of it. Turn that into 10 years. 10 years from now, I'm doing some miracles, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that answer. I think that one thing about Sean, like I said, him being a family man is key to him. And I know that he loves his wife, adores his wife. They have a great relationship. They're good. They are like
almost 21 years.
Yeah. Him and his wife are like amazing people. His wife actually, when it comes to my wife is like loves Chrissy. That's like our home girl. Right. So true. I mean, real talk. That's the one. And so me and Sean have been able to build on that. So we've become friends and we've, you know, done a lot of stuff. So I've seen these things. So he's 100% right. So question two for Lou.
Thank you. I'm just down for Sean to share anything that he has in the side of what's connected you in the car business and what has made you kind of build a brand around you. Why is it that we're going with Chef Sean? Why is it that you have done things for years? Like I've gone back into the archives of what the dealership's been doing and so many of the older videos that were you and your testimonials, you know what I mean? The other things that we've had out there. Why is it that over the years, it's been so important for you to reshape, rebuild and connect your person to your car guy persona, if that makes sense. Because there's so much that's you that's wrapped into the Chef Sean.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It just keeps it real. I mean, there's no fluff or there's no advertisement. It's just, it's real. It is what it is. You know, yep. being who I am, I try to wrap my art, which is cooking, into, you know, my business, which is, you know, helping people, you know, solve transportation problems. So
anything you can do, it's cooked.
Yes. And I can cook. And actually looking at all that stuff, that's, you know, that's part of my personality. So just as I would put love into making great food, you know, try to put the love into making a good deal for myself and for the customer.
It's got the right recipe for you folks out there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're out there and you're in Hardin County, if you're anywhere across the country, we can help you.
Coming soon.
Come see him. He's got a recipe for you. He's going to make sure that it has the perfect flavor, everything about the deal. Not to get cheesy, but to get real.
Ooh, come on.
God, I'm just turning to Lou real quick. So
But he really is the chef, though. So, I mean, think of this. And when going on one of the boat trips, right, when we're out there with all the guys and, you know, we're on a houseboat trip for three or four days, right? This man right here is preparing and continuing to move the entire food flow like you're on a luxury cruise liner, okay? And where you're eating food that's amazing. Everything that you touch and eat is like blowing your mind,
oh,
right?
Gosh.
While you're just sitting out there inside a great environment. He's doing that by himself the whole time because ribs, he loves to do steaks. It. You know what I mean? Because he loves it and enjoys it, and it doesn't matter what's going
Italian
on.
Italian beef sandwiches, hot Italian beef sandwiches.
Oh, and then he's like, hey, you hungry? If you even look like you're a little hungry,
but that's the thing, you
he's
know,
out there to fire up the grill.
Sean's not just – Sean doesn't just isn't just good at cooking it. He absolutely loves doing that. I mean, you can see it. Like, he loves to make a good dish. I've known that since I've known Sean. Every time he says, hey, I'm having a little grill out at my house. You want to come? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been good. I've been able to taste a lot of different things from his smoked food to his – I mean, everything on a grill. Sean, I mean, when it comes – especially to – Sean cook anything. But when it comes to grill, it's a grill master right here. Yeah. Kills it on a grill. Oh, matter of fact, man, what are we grilling again? I mean, we need to go ahead and make that happen soon.
So on the grill, being the master that he was, I guess in connecting number two, what was it that you did before the car business and what connected you to the car business?
What did I do before the car business? I actually had a contract company. I'm doing small parcel delivery for a major outfit here in the United States. How that connects me, I guess, is really the type of employment or the type of lifestyle that you would have as a car guy individually. You know, as a small business owner, it's your lifestyle. It's not clocking in or clocking out or like leaving it. You know, you're always waiting for the phone call. You always answer your phone. You always respond and do your business, you know. So in the car business, when I left my small business, I did not want to clock in or be kind of, privy to control in that way or, control my money or anything like that. So it gave me the opportunity to just to be myself, still be create my own small business within, another large business doing that. It gives me the freedom to, to have my time and to take care of people how I need to take care of them and implement, obviously, strategies you guys have taught me over years, but, things that I know how to do, with staying organized and, and being proactive and searching for business. So.
Right.
Kind of transitions, and that's really, after my small business closed down. Fred, asked me a couple times, hey, you want to come on the road?
I did.
I've turned it down more times than I said yes, of course, but it only takes that one yes.
Takes one yes.
And then, I'm a closer. I'm on the road and Lou's like, hey, or Fred's like, hey, we're going on the road. I'm going to go on a sale, but I'm not going with you, even though I told you I wanted you to go with us, but Lou's going to be your manager. So next thing you know, we're driving to the hills of Kentucky in a Ford Taurus with Lou Ramirez and, it all kind of transitions from there.
It's crazy how that works, and
that's crazy.
Sean got to see some crazy parts. Sean was out there with us, staying in hotels, seeing what it's like to be out there. He dug in deep. He earned his player's card. You know what I'm saying? So he knows what he's talking about when it comes to that.
There were weeks on the road. You qualify people. I would scan in. 100, 200. Scans.
I forgot we used to have that little scanner. We were high tech.
So consider that real quick. For all of you car guys and car gals out there, think of this for a moment. Put yourself in this position, okay? You were never in the car business. You didn't sit through an orientation class. You didn't watch a bunch of Joe Verde videos or any of the old VHSs of the past, right? You didn't go through any of that stuff. You didn't get prepped too much outside of your boy saying, hey, come out with me. We're going to go to the sale. Remember, these sales are not just any day sales. These are the sales that you use to put the defibrillator on a dealership and ignite them into life again, right? You add the jump box. That's what the sale is. He's brand new. He had 200 people inside of a week that he's having to pull in and then have to process and turn into car deals. Okay, brand new, didn't know anything, hasn't been taught nothing, for just the drive there, maybe, okay, so there's
hotel talk and the drive talk.
Yeah, there's 10 steps and we're going to do this and this is going to look like, but hey, when we get there, we got to line up all the cars and we got to set up all this and we got to run the caution tape, you know what I mean? All that other crazy stuff is going on.
Move the cars around, make the corral.
Hey, they're here, they want this, they want, you know what I mean? And imagine this the crazy fire hydrant of drinking that he had to do at that time, that many people don't have to hit it that aggressively, but you did it. You took it like a champ, man. You took it like a champ. You killed it. Man.
It was exciting. I mean, it was all new. It was totally a new industry for me. So it was, invigorating to learn, basically, being, doing small parcel. That's, you learn everything that you have to do about that and trucks and business and finances.
Sean basically, when he was talking about partials, when he was doing this business, he did it for a long time, and he would drive an hour plus in Lexington, 90 minutes almost, unless you're flying, but 90 minutes to get to his where he had his business. Like that was his headquarters right there. And then he started, they started upgrading. They started doing, you know, working on their vehicles. They started doing this because, you know, they understood that's the way you save from overhead. And he did a good job. So he started learning about everything about motors, all these, you know, brakes, having to constantly, brakes was probably the most common thing you had to replace. Yeah. I mean, I could imagine on those things are heavy.
Carrying all kinds of weight.
Then having to deal with drivers that were like iffy sometimes.
NASCAR drivers.
Right. You know. Some of them, and then they, you know, they get in little accidents. Oh my gosh, all kinds of stuff. Having to make sure that you had your, all your right licenses, you know, so Sean was on top of it. And Sean did it for a long time. That was a lot of fun. During those days, Sean and I got to hang out a lot. I was working at home. I was actually, at that time, I was doing a lot of calling dealers. And also, I was working from home most of the time. So I didn't have to really go anywhere. So I would just stay at home, make some phone calls. I didn't do it enough phone calls, but I did. I made phone calls. And then I'd go hang out with Sean a lot. So Sean and I hung out quite a bit then, you know.
Skateboarding, taekwondo.
That was about what I did every day. I was going to taekwondo like 8 hours a week, guys. No joke. So, and skateboarding every single day, pretty much. So, but it was a good time, you know. So that was probably when me and Sean became the closest. So that would lead into my third question. You know, I know that, you know, before you did this, you were a, you had your business, and you know, you, before you did that, I know you were, you were actually like a cook in the industry.
Yeah.
And so Sean, he was doing it at like, not like a steak joint. He was, I mean, kind of, but he was doing it like at Asian places and things like that. So Sean learned a lot of culture that, but Sean's also the kind of guy who grew up around culture. He has family that has different culture in them. Sean's much like how Lou and I, and how most of my friends look, is that we don't look at people as different. We look at them at all as human beings, as family, you know, because everybody could be family. You never know. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It's just, we're all love, right? So what would you say help, out of all the stuff that you learned growing up, the people you were around and all that type of stuff, what would you say was the thing that you learned as a trait inside you, or as a idea inside you about the world and about people? What would you say helped you become the kind of guy who can talk to people and be able to talk to everyone, if that makes sense, and look at everyone as the same?
I guess just do unto others, you know, like, you know, that growing up in multiple, you know, having that opportunity for, you know, low income, having medium income, having different ways and seeing different walks of life. It's just no one understanding everybody is the same, and everybody feels the same, and is happy the same, and is sad the same, and the color doesn't matter. I've learned a lot about geography and, you know, histories of the world and stuff like that, kind of growing up, and just knowing that it all kind of comes down to humanism versus anything, you know? So, I guess that just kind of doing unto others, because, you know, no matter, even an animal, you know, I wouldn't viciously hurt an animal because I wouldn't viciously want anything to hurt me, you know? So it's just kind of in that way, you know, same thing. So,
yeah, so much so. Well, sister, you're a good human. And that kind of question was up there. After retrospect, after I asked the question, I realized that's kind of like one of those, he's saying he's a good human. And what I guess more or less, I was wanting to say that Sean is a great human being, beyond anything, you know. Let's take away the car guy. Let's take away, even being a family guy, you know, he's a good human being. He's the kind of guy he wants, like he just said, and that's why I love he said that. He says he want, you know, do unto others as you want done unto you. And, but don't expect that. You know, what Sean does is he throws out that type of vibe to people. Hey, I respect you. You respect me. Don't give me crap. I won't give you crap. That type of stuff. Right. And so that's exactly the way he wants to be treated. And I can respect that.
But don't tread on him.
Oh, don't tread on him. No, you know, don't tread on him. Or anybody that he cares about. Or anybody he cares about. I'll tell you, you know.
Sean did a funny post.
Sort of funny. Sort of serious too. He writes, y'all know me. Why would I be in? Why would I need you to bail me out? Right, something to that nature,
yeah,
right?
If I got arrested. Why would you need me to bail?
I can already tell you, it's between like one or two things. You know, it's family or friends. It's one of the only things. It wouldn't be for some, or we won't talk about the third, but the first two.
You know, growing up, I mean, I never got into any trouble myself. If I got into fights, it was because of my sisters. That's what you do as a big brother, I guess. You know, I never had problems with anybody. It was always them having problems. So.
That's right. So Sean's always enjoying the at arms that we feel when we talk about the stages that our daughters are going through, and the things that we cringe in knowing, you know, our kids have to be exposed to, because you know how guys are and stuff like that. And we're sitting there trying to grow through it all, and we share that pain together as our daughters have made this transition into these women that are now out there doing women things, right? They're going to college, living on their own, you know, and we have each other to lean on during this. And it's such a blessing. It's so great for me just to kind of share the hey, oh, she's going through this today. Oh, she's going through that too. Oh my gosh. You know what I mean? That kind of, that this stage of dad is fun for us all. And man, we're enjoying it. But it's just fun having somebody like Sean. And so many of you have a culture inside of your dealership and where it is that you are. Make sure that you are finding a way to interweave yourself on a level that's deeper than just the car deal. Okay. The function of what it is that you do inside of your business is good, but where it is that you dig your roots deep, the deep places that actually give you the life that it takes for you to produce fruit, like the roots of a tree, they dig deep into what you cannot see to find and draw out water, right? To create fruit. And those fruits create seed. Well, sometimes we got to dig a little deeper. What do we usually do when we're digging deeper? We're going to hit the chest one time. And we are going to make sure that we are penetrating the heart in the things that we do. So a lot of our culture at work or for the people, right, is that it's not so much just about the car deal, right? It's right, the people. You know, there's an accolade that we enjoy being the best place to work in Kentucky. We've attained it for 3 years now. And there's something about being able to not just say that we have the best deals in town, which isn't even what we would promote.
Never.
But saying that we have the best people and we love the people the most, and making that our culture because they see it evident on us. You know what I mean?
Well, when a customer walks into into dealership to my desk and they sit down at my desk, you know, I mean, I'm there at my desk or at my place of business sometimes more than I am at home. So you got to have that feel when they sit at your desk. You don't want them to feel like they're sitting in a business. I spend a lot of time there, so I want it to be comfortable, you know, so I want them to be comfortable as if they're walking into my living room, sitting on my couch, and I'm handing them a bottle of water there. It's the same concept. You make friends, you know, and you them comfortable, you're comfortable. Everything usually works a little bit.
Let me write that note down.
Just like a chef, right?
I love that. That's Sean, that's a very good nugget. Folks, did you hear what he just said? So when you bring your clients in, you sit them down in front of you. Don't make it feel sterile like they're at an office.
Right.
Yeah, make it like you're sitting down at your couch and you're getting to know each other like friends.
Right.
Make that your priority. Oh my God.
You see how culture is shifting in that direction, right? I mean, Capital One, I mean, even if they're in their advertisement, they're saying, let's wipe away what you feel is the big banker experience. Right. And we're going to make it to where it's a sit down, homey, cozy type of flow. Chef, if we step into the room and we go over to your area inside of the store, because I consider it so much like it's the straw market, right? Like everybody has their area and they create it kind of the way they want it, and they promote themselves their way. But Chef Sean has this entire wall that's from top to bottom, side to side, filled with cars all over it. What is that you got going on over there, Chef?
That is the kid car lot. So it's Hot Wheels. It gives me a reason to, you know, walk through the aisle and look for cool toys anyways. But just have a wall of cars, kid car lot. The kids come in with their parents, you know, and they're always a big part of the car deal, always, you know. So notice that. Notice how they're talking to their kids about it. Notice what they're saying, what their kids are saying about the car, because it really does matter more than what you're saying. So, but, you know, I usually give a car away to each kid. Once they're there, the parents, you know, do business. I let the kid know, hey, you get a new car today too. Pick one off the wall. Boom. Everybody's usually pretty happy. It definitely, you know, it's cool to see.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's when I saw it, that was like, it made my mind go, hello. That's so, it's an idea that sounds very simple, right? But it's so powerful. Simple things are amazing when you just don't think about them before. I mean, as easy as just saying, hey kids, not only did your parents get a car, but you get to pick one out too.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Closed.
You know, and there's some business in there, you know, and I just have a memory like that. But, you know, if you're 3 years down the road, you're mowing the grass and you run over a Hot Wheel in the yard that's muddy and you pick it up and it's just, hey, this is the one that my kid got from that car from Sean.
That's not for a new car anyway.
Sometimes it can be better than a business card.
It is better than a business card. I'm going to tell you that.
The little things that you hear the customer do after the close or after you feel like they've gone to that next stage. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, everybody takes their deep breath and tries to then count their marbles after the customer breaks the curb and they're driving down the street, right? All steps are in house, bing bong, yep. Let's ride, right? But there's these key things that happen after they sign on the offer or after they shake the hand or we hit the elbows now, right? There's key things that happen. But when the mom runs in there and be like, guess what? Remember that car we just drove? Yeah, we're getting it. And come here, let's go. And then the mom is quick to pull you over and you're sitting there getting all your paperwork ready, you know, as the car buying coach or the salesperson, and you're all pumped up about it. But they come through and they do those things. It's those other things that seal that experience for you and the customer that makes it that much more enjoyable, that much more memorable. Because the way for you to stay relevant to your customers going forward from here is to stay memorable to them. Because folks, there is a whole lot of fighting for their attention right now. And Chef Sean is leading the pack in making the shift from the one way that we all knew how to do stuff to now being able to embrace and see the effectiveness and understand the customer and how they're changing and how they approach it. What types of things have you seen as being some of the biggest challenges in now communicating and connecting that customer to the physical appointment on the ground? I guess I just flowed here. I don't know why that's
happening. I mean, from like making an appointment to getting somebody on the ground?
Right.
The biggest challenge?
Yeah, what has been the biggest shift now in the midst of COVID, in the midst of the way that we have to contact customers and deal with customers? What has been the biggest shift inside of that time that you had to make with the customer before they would actually come through? And I mean this when we were completely locked down, like we really couldn't touch anything that they were touching.
Right. Well, so, you know, normally they come in, you know, it can be a process of a day, 2 days, 3 days. Well, now, you know, you kind of have to work a lot of it over the phone, try to build all of that rapport over the phone. And then, of course, people didn't want to be exposed a lot. So they would, you know, they would try to get most of the business part of it done before they arrived. That was probably the biggest thing that changed for us, is doing some of the process, you know, virtually or, you know, over the phone versus physically, you know, in the dealership. And it's hard to build a rapport with somebody if they're not sitting in your couch. You know what I mean? Once they do, they're now, you know, kind of moving forward, we have the masks on, you know, and I smile and I have a lot of facial expressions, as you can probably see through the whole video here. That's how I communicate with a lot of people too. And I think how they communicate with us and the mask, yes, of the people has, right, really changed. Because all you sometimes see is the eye staring at you. You don't know how you're being received or, you know, how they're receiving you either, you know? So it definitely, you know, changes the game.
Throw this at you, man. It does change the game. So, but what cool about that, because of the mask, you could be more forward now with those types of things. Do you like this really or not? I can't tell. Usually I could tell when people are smiling, but I can't tell. Can you just tell me? And then that could be more of a joke and they're going to be more free. So there's always two sides to a coin, right?
Definitely.
So I'm excited. You know, I'm excited that, there's so many ways to look at stuff. I don't know, my feet over here underneath the table, right? I got them picked up. They're shaking. I'm like,
Well, while they're shaking over there, we want to let you know that this brew has been brought by Think Ad Group.
Yes.
Think Ad Group is the incredible solutionaries that we have teamed up with to make sure that we are helping spread the message that you can find a solution to a problem without having to be attached to one singular product. The mindset of Justin and Derek and Evelyn and all of the solutionaries affiliated with, yes, Think Ad Group are always finding a way to brew solutions for you, and we are just thankful that we get to be with them. Again, this brew has been brought by them.
Think Ad Group.
Man, I missed it. We got to do it again. Brew has been brought by
Think Ad Group.
There we go.
There you go. So we are back.
Let's see. The reason why it seems so important at this time to connect the dots between the customer and the message and the experience and the delivery is that there's so much that's been pushing the customer to get away from the person. So you having to be memorable inside of their life, you know, you have to be somebody that they have a relationship with that they can turn down the idea to shop on Carvana. Why? Because you can make it just as easy, if not more pleasant,
yes.
You know, more trustworthy.
100%.
Why is it, I kind of just lean more into the same understanding there of connecting your brand to the actual experience that the customer is getting. And what have you seen as far as being effective in giving them a, hey, this is how this ride is going to go. You know what I mean? What have you seen as the key tools? I mean, you've been able to experience and seeing how the Nextel app works and the way that you approach that prospecting of a customer. Because again, we're not out handing out business cards right, anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? That day is different. You know what I mean? You're not shaking hands in line at all. You know, you shouldn't have that close. You shouldn't be that close. You know what I mean? So having stuff like that, having tools implemented into your business, what have you seen as being a key component to making sure that your message is getting out there beyond just the, hey, I met a car guy at a car lot one day?
I mean, everybody has it in their hand, you know, their phone. So you have to be on social media, you know, that's the biggest way to keep in contact, especially when your customers do leave, you know, friending them, requesting them, messaging them. That way you can let everybody know who you are, where you are, what you're doing, you know, how you can
absolutely
help. Staying in touch, not just with the car business, but, you know, try to be interactive too. Try to have, you know, questions and comments and people can, you know, have fun with you. And then I have a lot of hobbies. I cook and I like cars too. So a lot of that stuff that I interact with friends on a friend level, you know what I mean, would be cooking and food or, you know, cars and racing, building, things like that. And, you know, keeps those common grounds where you're not just always talking about selling a car or buying a car. It's friendship within other ways. And you can do that on social media with social friends. You
know? 100%. That is your calling card now. So, and this is what I try to implore to my people. And that's right, because you don't need a business card if you have that. You can just get people connected that way. He says friends. He says friends that he just interacts with, his cooking, his driving, or just, you know, hey, what's up type stuff, right? Those friends eventually need cars. So eventually they're going to come see you. But if they don't know you're doing this job, or they don't think you do it at a higher level, they might go see the guy who's posting more stuff about selling cars. So a lot of times what I've come to find is you've got to do a certain percentage of everything. You know, I can't just be all business on social media, which to my fault, that's probably one of my weaknesses. I'm pretty much 90% plus business when I post stuff. I do put out about some, like I posted one last night that was, you know, personal, and then things like that, but I don't really do it too often. I probably should do more so people know who I really am. And then even my friends know who I am and what I do. But you know, Sean does a good job. Sean definitely posts stuff. He's been building that up. He's working on his almost like a lot walk. I love it. He does a good job introducing himself, talking about he's at the hill, you know, on top of the hill. He's going to be here all day till all week, you know, all that type of stuff. I watch those videos. I love them. But yeah, that is your business card. You know, the thing is that people now, if I was a client, right. And now that, especially now that I've been using social media, it's unbelievable how powerful it is. If I get off the phone with Sean, boom, first thing I'm going to do is go to his social media and see how many cars he's selling. Like, man, what's this guy do? Does he sell cars? I don't see anything. If I don't see anything of him really of all, any of that connected to him at all, then why would I call this guy? He's not that much of a professional. And he doesn't have any clients that really care. Then I go look at, or the complete opposite. I get on here and I look up Sean. I see Sean. I'm going to see a testimonial from a couple customers, see pictures of all these people smiling with Sean. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And you just keep going. You want to talk about a resume? You want to talk about a business card? You want to talk about powerful? Now you have people telling people to go see you. You have people talking about how great their experience is. You have these people smiling in front of their car with their fours up because we're for the people. That is so powerful beyond a piece of paper that you hand them that says, hey, this is how you get a hold of me.
What's your name?
Yeah. That's it.
I can see the reviews. Right.
Boom. There's so many things. Right? And that's why that culture and don't get me wrong. There's still people out there who don't use social media, but let's talk about the years and let's talk about statistics. Let's talk about who's buying cars now. We're talking about people that are buying cars that are now social media driven, people who are all over it, who use it to do reviews of, see reviews of restaurants, do their own reviews of restaurants, checking at this store, checking in at that restaurant. More and more common, guys. This is not something that's going away. It's becoming more every year. So when you look at demographics 5 years from now, a majority of people buying cars are now that generation. And now they're getting into their 30s, guys. These are real clients. These are people who can buy and afford whatever they want. So if you're not catering to that now because you're, well, all my clients for, well, those clients are going to be buying their last car soon. No offense, and don't take it the wrong way. It's facts. I'm just being honest. I'm running numbers in my head. Those eventually are not going to be that way. Guess what? Guess what's going to happen? The majority of your clients are going to be this client, and now you don't know how to do it. And guys like Sean who are already starting to do it, guys like most, you know, most of the people on our team, guys that are out there doing what they're supposed to be doing. Trust me, if you start doing it now and you start forming those habits, it's not easy. It's just like working out. The first few times you get a little sore, you don't see results. You're like, man, why am I doing this? It takes a little bit of time. When you see start seeing the results, the soreness goes away quick. You start loving soreness. It's a difference. I mean, that's what it becomes. So you have to understand that. That becomes something if you do it every day. So I'm glad that you brought that up, Sean. It's a great point. Social media is now your business card. So we're not shaking hands with people. We're not handing people anything anymore. We're just passing our information verbally. They can just boop, boop, boop. Or you could just send them a link on your phone that says, hey, check out my Facebook. Boom. Go friend me real quick. Or you could friend them and send them a request, send a message. There's so many things that you can do. Be aggressive. Do it right. Show people who you are. Because if you're selling a lot of cars out there and you're not using social media, that's a shame because you can really, really use what we just talked about and it'll help your business. So anyway, sorry to ramble right there. I just think it's,
I mean, there's just a lot of good nuggets there. I mean, we can have an entire training all day and speaking of, I mean, we would do that. But the best method of approaching that is to stay consistent with it, right? Yeah. You have to be able to know how you're – have a measurable way to see what it is that you're dealing with by staying consistent with it, by doing it continuously.
It's a hard word for Lou for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A consistent message is what it is that most advertisers are paying for, right? If you're a marketer out there, you're paying to have a consistency of message. And the key is that you don't know when you're going to catch somebody at that time to do that purchasing that they're wanting to do. But there's so many challenges on all ends. But Sean is doing an incredible job of connecting his persona to his person and his person to his persona. He makes sure to show a lifestyle of truly being for the people, but also being for the people in many different ways. I mean, he's such a diagnosis of many things in my life. You know what I mean? Like if I talk about a health thing, I'm talking to Sean about it. But he's also a car guy's car guy where here's the keys. I need you to test this out. Tell me what's going on with that. Right. You know, he's the guy for that. He's our QC at the dealership. You know, hey, drive this, this weekend, you know, let's see what it is that you're feeling. But he's also, hey, taste this. What's in that? You know what I'm saying? He's both of those things as far as the chef and the car guy. And it's crazy how he mixes it together.
I mean, Sean even got in the mix of buying cars for the store. He's gone to some auctions. So Sean's like, you know, he's doing some stuff. He's learning some things. He's definitely building up a great resume. But the biggest thing is that once again, I'm going to get back to it. Sean's just a great dude, great person, great human being. And that's the most important thing. That's if you can start with that foundation in yourself and you work on yourself like that and you become an honest, just good person who does unto others what he expects to be done unto yourself. That's recipe to becoming great. The rest of it's just taking those steps, making sure you be consistent and you just do what you're supposed to do every single day.
And like he mentioned, you know, with the workout, the being sore, you know, I mean, I've been at our dealership now for 7.5 years, you know, when I decided to, you know, to come off the road and I wanted to, you know, I work at, you know, at a physical, you know, brick and mortar store. You know, I told myself and I told you and I told, you know, Lou that, you know, I kind of like entrenched, you know, when I got my desk, I know the first time I put up sandbags and I dug trenches and I laid the foundation to try to, cause I wasn't going anywhere. I was like, hey, this is going to be my mission. This is my plan. I got a couple kids in high school. I know I'm going to be rocking this at least until that point, you know? So that was, you know, and even, you know, those first couple years, I probably did slack a little too much on that. You know, you always look back and kind of know at the first year, if I would have been that much more proactive than I am, you know, the later years, where, you know, where would the career take for me from there? course, you know, hindsight's always hindsight, but just knowing that, you know, in every, you know, every year trying to just implement everything that kind of works, you know, for you better, you know, so.
Just knowing that. And the thing we talk about a lot is the biggest room in the world is a room for improvement. That doesn't matter who you are, Sean. You're going to look back, even if you did the stuff that you think you should have done back then, if you were in today, you look back and I could have done more. And that's always the craziest thing, because there's always more that you can do. We all have the same hours every single day. We all have 24 hours, 365 days a year. No one else has more than that. We all have the same. But we see a lot of people who do some crazy stuff in that amount of time while we're like, I'm lazy. Even though I feel like, even now, I feel like I see people do stuff and I'm like, man, like a Glenn Lundy, dude, this dude is unbelievable. Yeah. And I'm like, we do some stuff, but man, he does some stuff. Now, granted, I have a full-time job during the day. That's a little, so I would be able to knock out a few more things if I didn't have that. But at the same time, he's earned that and he's rocked it and he's done nothing but some great stuff. And his day is a daily plan of what he's going to do, and he makes it happen. And you're going to find that. So you're going to look back at it 5 years from now, just like all of us in your business time of being in this business. And you're going to be like, man, I could have done more. I could have done a whole lot more as a salesperson. I look back, I'm like, God bless. I missed all kinds of deals. I know I did. I think back, I should have been like doing this and that, you know. But at the same time, that's cool that you think that way, because we all need to think that way.
Well, it's a big misconception. The more successful you become, the less work you have to do. That's actually the opposite way.
So
the way more work that you have
to
do.
Way to tell it. That's a fact.
Look at The Rock or Kevin Hart or, you know, those kind of guys. They have, you know, big social media followings. And those dudes are up at, you know, 4 a.m. and they don't even have to be. You know, their bank account says enough, you know. So they still do it, you know, to try to be successful.
And I think we hit you like with a 7-8 liner.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's okay. We're way past 5. I know that's okay. But I thought they were really good. The flow was really wonderful.